Hi, I'm Eric Dalmut, pastor at Gospel of Grace Fellowship, and I'm in studio along with Gospel of Grace's theologian and teacher, Bob DeWay. We both want to welcome you here to Critical Issues Commentary Radio, where we dig into the great doctrines of the faith revealed verse by verse through the scriptures, where we teach you how to contend for the faith once for all, handed down to the saints. Well, Bob, it's great to be with you here on this beautiful day. It's a sunshine outside, a little chilly, but yep. You and I get to talk about the greatness of who Christ is from the scriptures.
Amen.
Now, last time we left off in verse 19. We'd finished verse 19. And so what I'm going to do for the sake of the listeners, I'm going to read verses 20 through 23 of Colossians chapter 2. I'm using the new... Oh, I'm sorry. I've actually got a version that Bob likes, and I like it too. The more I've used it, it's called the Lexham English Bible. And so let me just read from that version. Verses 20 through 23 of Colossians 2. Paul said, "If you have died with Christ to the elemental spirits of the world, why do you submit to them as if living in the world? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, which things are all meant for destruction by consuming according to human commandments and teachings, which things, although they have, to be sure, an appearance of wisdom and self-made religion and humility and unsparing treatment of the body, do not have any value against the indulgence of the flesh."
Absolutely.
Wow, what a great passage, Bob.
Well, this has got a lot of implications.
It does, doesn't it?
I want to start by reading a summary from an article I wrote.
Yeah.
Back in 2002 about the Colossian heresy.
Right.
And we've been talking about that. And here is a summary about what we've learned, okay?
Right, right.
I'm just quoting my article.
Yeah.
Quote, "It is obvious from Paul's polemic against the false teachers who were influencing the Christians at Colossae that his readers were tempted to believe that Christ had not fully delivered them from the hostile powers and that more was needed."
Wow.
"The spiritual elitists who had these visionary experiences were portraying themselves as the ones who could lead the Colossians into freedom." Yeah. Paul claimed that they were actually trying to carry the Christians of Colossae off as plunder.
Wow.
They want to make you their plunder.
Right, right.
Human lawgivers, as we're going to see today, further are inspired by hostile spiritual forces.
Amen.
They sound spiritual. Right. They sound pious. They sound like they have something going for them.
Right.
But they're not inspired by God. Yeah. They're inspired by really bad sources. And they're never going to give you victory over the flesh, because if we are Christians,
right,
we've already died with Christ.
Amen. We have all we need.
We're dead.
Right, right. We're with Him.
Yeah, we don't need new rules, new laws, new revelations, new spiritual insights.
Exactly.
We need to walk in the Spirit and believe what God has promised.
Amen.
And trust what He's done for us in Christ.
Amen. And that's just what we were teaching back in Colossians 1:13 through 14, where the true believer has gone from one domain, the domain of darkness and Satan, to the domain of the beloved Son. Now, the reason why people have a hard time believing that is because we haven't actually experienced it physically. But I like to use the term positionally. Positionally, it's true. Just as when you call up a very fancy restaurant, you make a reservation, even though you're not physically there, positionally, they have that allocated for you. And that's what's true of us, that we are treated and viewed by God the moment we trusted in Jesus Christ as in His kingdom, and we are absolutely secure. There's nothing that the demonic forces nor Satan can ultimately do to us. And by the way, that's the answer to the prayer that Jesus gave in John 17 when He said, "Lord, I do not ask that You take them out of the world, but keep them from the evil one," meaning from his sphere.
Absolutely. Out of the sphere of darkness.
Amen.
So I'll cite the first half here.
Yeah.
Colossians 2:20. I have it from the NET. It says, "If you have died with Christ to the elemental spirits of the world.
Yeah.
Now, these elemental spirits,
yeah,
that's a translation of this word stoichia,
right,
that we've been talking about.
Yeah.
Okay. And we've been looking at that in Galatians and then again here in Colossians.
Right, right.
It's used in those two books. And though it has a range of meaning, it here refers to hostile spiritual beings that influenced people.
Right.
That the Colossians had died to in Christ.
Amen.
But the false teachers were putting them back under.
Wow. Right.
Okay, so it says here, if you have died. So what we have here is a first-class conditional in the Greek.
Right, right.
So the implication is, if, as is the case.
Right, right.
It's not calling into question whether Christians have died with Christ.
Right.
It's assuming they have.
Exactly.
And then drawing a conclusion based on that fact.
Right.
That's
right.
What's going on in the Greek with a first-class conditional.
Right. Amen.
And it says literally in the Greek here, you died from.
Right. It's apo.
Apo.
Right.
So you died, erst active, from. And Dr. O'Brien in his commentary says this means out of the control of.
Yeah, that's well said.
You're not under their control.
Right, right.
So if, as the case, you died from the control of these stoichion.
Right, right.
And it's a plural here in the Greek.
Yeah.
And they're the stoichion of the world.
Right.
Here's cosmos. Our listeners probably know, but let's reiterate.
Right.
That has a range of meaning.
Yeah.
So the stoichion of the world, in this context, is talking about the world in its fallen condition.
Right, right. Amen. And you know, Bob, it's so interesting when he says, as you pointed out, first-class conditional assumed to be true for the sake of argument, and it is true, that you have died with Christ, and that's true. Well, when did we die with Christ? Well, the moment we trusted upon the Lord Jesus Christ, that's at conversion, we are positionally considered to be with Christ, dead to the hostile powers, but alive to God. And we see this kind of idea in Romans 6, but also earlier in Colossians 2:12. In fact, I'll read Colossians 2:11 through 12. Paul said, in him, that's in Christ, you also were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through the faith and the powerful working of God. Well, the idea then is baptism symbolizes this being united with Christ,
yeah,
at conversion. Yeah, we're dead. There's no going back.
Yeah, so all these roles aren't going to do a dead guy any good.
Right, right, great point. Yeah, now Bob, I like the fact that you point out that that preposition should be rendered from rather than to, and that makes a big difference, because the idea is that we were taken out from the control of, as you were just mentioning.
Yeah.
That's significant because it implies that we were in the control and that we were taken out of it at conversion with Jesus Christ. So the Apostle Paul isn't saying that we weren't in the control of the stoichia. He was saying we were, and we were taken out of it.
Yes. And I've been working on this.
Yeah.
I mentioned it to you. I'm hoping to write an article here soon about it.
Right.
This is what I would call two-realm theology.
Yes.
Okay? Or two domains. This isn't about geography.
Right. Mm.
It's not saying, well, if you live in some tribal part of the world where everybody worships spirits and you got witch doctors and pagan religion, if you happen to live there, then you're in this realm, or you're in the territory of the stoichia, the hostile powers.
Right.
That's not what it's saying.
Yeah.
Because it says in 1 John, the whole world lies in the power of the evil one.
Yes.
And we also don't know this based on symptoms.
Right.
That's where people go wrong.
Yes.
If they see someone with severe mental issues, they've had a really bad childhood.
Right.
they were dedicated to Satan by a bunch of Satan worshipers.
Right, right.
They're looking around to see if that's the case. And if it was, then you're probably under these hostile powers.
Right.
No, that's not the biblical worldview. I'm going to say it right here. I'll soon be writing some more about it.
Right.
Okay. You could have been born into a Christian family, raised in a conservative Baptist church.
Right.
All the time, had the best of everything, protected from anything negative in the world, and had this pristine upbringing.
Right. Be wealthy.
And have everything you need, healthy, wealthy, Christian. What a great life. But if you're not converted, you're still under the domain of darkness.
Amen. Okay? That's it.
It's not territorial.
Right.
It's not symptomatic.
Right.
It's relational in regard to Christ.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen. Well,
I've talked to plenty of people who grew up in very Christian homes who much later in life realized they were still lost and unconverted.
Right.
And came to Christ, and it's still a radical change.
Right.
Now, somebody was in this deep, dark tribal place where there's witch doctors and spirit worship. Well, they need to be converted too.
Right, exactly.
So,
yeah.
Our false thinking is that it's symptomatic or it's territorial.
Right.
According to Christ, it's relational.
Right.
If you are just born into this world and not born again, you are under the domain of darkness and under the hostile powers, even if you don't believe they exist.
Right, right.
No matter who you are, what you look like, and how happy you are, you're under darkness and you're lost.
Right, amen.
Okay? And to be converted is to go from one domain to another.
Amen. Amen.
Okay. Eric, we keep going back to this, but that's okay.
Yeah.
I said long ago, nobody can wear out a Bible verse.
Okay. Well said.
Could you go to Acts 26:18?
Yes, yes.
And this is Jesus telling Paul what Jesus is going to do through Paul.
Amen.
By sending him as an apostle.
Yeah, and we'll see the two domains contrast.
Yeah, two domains.
Here is Acts 26, verse 18. Jesus had said to Paul, I'm sending you to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Wow, look at those two realms, Bob. Darkness or light, or another way of saying it is the power of Satan or with God.
There it is. Two ways of describing the two domains.
Amen.
Okay, that's conversion.
Amen.
And it's not dependent on if you are a Jew or a Gentile.
Right.
If you had a happy life or an unhappy one, or if you got certain symptoms or you don't have.
Yes.
It's not about that.
Right.
I get so many emails from people, and I have for you. Really, as long as I've been doing CIC and having email.
Right.
I got one the other day from somebody who says, well, what are you going to do about somebody who has alter personalities or gender identity issues?
Right.
Or severe mental trauma? What do you offer them?
Right.
So I wrote back. I said, conversion.
Right. Amen.
That's what Christians have.
Amen.
Okay. We're not hanging out a placard saying, we'll take care of curses and weird dreams or demonic manifestations. Come here and we'll start working with these things.
Right, exactly.
That's not a Christian operation.
Right.
In the New Testament, there's no plan for processing the past.
Amen.
The old man isn't processed. He's buried.
Amen. Exactly.
Okay. That's what Paul's saying. If I can make this contribution in my lifetime to the body of Christ, I'm not saying I'm the only one who ever saw this, but it seems to be lost on people.
It does. Well said. You know, and Bob, it ties into what the problem is. The reason why at conversion we've been rescued from the hostile powers and we've been brought to Christ's kingdom is because the problem that we had is alluded to up earlier in Colossians 2, verse 13. He says, "And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven all of our trespasses." And then he goes on to say, "By canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands, this he set aside, nailing it to the cross."
Yeah, so the accuser uses that against us.
The head of the hostile powers uses our breaking God's moral law against us so that we really are guilty before God. Ultimately, we need to be spared and saved from the wrath of God. And what the hostile powers do is they use the fact that we are indeed guilty as lawbreakers against God to beat us over the head with.
Right.
But at the moment of conversion, all of our guiltiness was placed upon Christ that he purchased on the cross, and it's forever away.
He paid it all.
He paid it all.
It's done. But see, what we're seeing here,
yes,
as we go through these verses, is the hostile powers don't like their defeat.
Right.
So they got a plan B.
Yes.
To deceive Christians.
It's deception.
They give them more rules.
Right.
What you need is more laws.
And it's their own doctrine.
Don't touch, don't taste, right. No, don't do this, don't do that.
Right, right.
Or go back to Moses.
Yes.
That's a good way to get people under a curse.
Amen.
Cursed right. is he who doesn't do everything
right.
in the law.
Right.
So the way to defeat Christians is to give more laws.
Right.
And to get their mind off of what Christ has done for them.
Amen. Okay. And the reason it's such a defeat is because if someone thinks that they are more pleasing to God by some man-made rule or even by the Mosaic law, then what it shows is that they really don't trust in Christ, because in Christ they have all they need. One example is, we've seen this, you and me, Bob, as pastors at local churches that we've dealt with, where what happens is there'll be some person who seems very pious, and they will start coming up with commands and ordinances that are outside of the new covenant, outside those things
that
are commanded. And one of them would be like, well, for example, they don't watch TV on Sunday. Well, that's very...
Well, they get their commands from church history sometimes.
Exactly.
And Protestants love being lawgivers.
Right. People see these people and they say, wow, are they
pious? They were great men of God. And if they said it's a sin to buy coffee
On Sunday or whatever.
Or fill your car up on Sunday, then that must be a sin.
Right. But all the while, it's a doctrine of demons.
It is. It's a doctrine of demons.
Yes.
I don't care who said it.
Right.
We're not under these guys from church history and their writings. We're under Christ.
Amen. Now, Bob, right there, this is something that you helped me years ago in my ministry. In the very beginning, you helped me see binding and loosing. Just explain that and relate
critical
that.
Issues commentary, issue 1 and issue 2.
Okay, isn't that right?
1992.
Oh, my goodness.
The first things I ever published.
Wow. Well, explain to the listener what we're actually bound to.
See, in my past, back in the 70s in the charismatic,
right,
binding and loosing was binding demons.
Oh, sure.
Or
they distorted it.
The territorial spirits, they thought these guys would come through town teaching this stuff. Mm. If you find out by revelation, that's what these prophets were going to do.
Yeah.
Which demon is over, now we're here in Minneapolis area.
Right.
Well, this is the demon. They even organized marches back then in the 70s and 80s. And try to get Christians to march around cities.
Oh, to bind Satan.
Yeah, to bind Satan, proclaim Christ is going to rule over this city.
Right, right.
Okay. See, their worldview wasn't really Christian.
Right, right.
It was more pagan.
Yeah.
In other words, God's for territories rather than Christ overall.
Right.
Okay. And here's the problem. No matter how many placards or how many prophets and apostles they had with their march, and they get by time on radio, we're going to claim Minneapolis for Christ.
Right.
Everybody in that city who's unconverted is in the domain of Satan.
Amen.
No matter what these people do.
Right.
And if they manage to have a born-again, spirit-filled, powerful person of God as the mayor, everybody unconverted You're still under Satan.
Yeah, exactly. That's what matters is conversion.
It doesn't matter.
Right, right.
Human authorities can't change that reality.
Right, right.
Only Christ can.
Yeah.
And he does through the gospel. So I understood that. So I started trying to tell some of the pastors I knew then in the 80s.
Yep.
Well, no, that's not binding and loosing. So I got Bible dictionaries and Greek and looked at the text. And to bind means to hold somebody in account to.
Right.
This is what you have to do.
Yeah.
To loose was to loose them from it.
Yeah.
And the rabbis would make rulings on law.
Right.
You're bound to this, you're not bound to that, you're loosed. And I proved that.
Yeah.
And I talked to some pastors and presented papers to them and said, look at some of the ones who knew about these things or participated in these marches on the city.
Right.
And privately, I see what you're saying and I see what these verses say. But then they would never do anything about it.
Exactly.
So in 1992, partially out of frustration, I thought, I'm going to go right to the people.
Right.
The pastors don't seem to want to listen.
Right.
So I started just writing articles, number one and two.
And that's how CIC began?
That's how it began. A fellow that helped us start it was a businessman, and he gave us some money.
Right.
And he said, all right, I like to start things, and I think you got something to tell people.
Oh, wow.
And we'll give you the, I don't know what it was. It was a ton of money. But enough so you can send out a bunch of these, publish these articles, send them to a fairly significant mailing list that we gathered.
Yeah.
And if it flies, great.
Wow.
It's self-sufficient. If it fails, that's it.
Yeah.
Pull the plug.
Right.
So we sent it out, fall of 1992, or starting that year.
Yeah.
And after a few months, we had some money coming in of donations and some readers, but not quite enough for that many, so we pared it back to about 800.
Right.
And we just kept doing it, and here we're still doing it. Wow. You know, we quit sending out physical paper when we got up around 6,000, and my whole back of my pickup was full. And you don't need to do that now. You just send a link and you can print the PDF.
Yeah, isn't that great?
Yeah, it's more efficient to do it this way.
Right.
Yeah, it's a lot cheaper.
Yeah.
So this was what it was about. And the question is, do we want to know this and learn what the Bible says?
Yeah.
Or we'd rather do like the pagans?
Right, exactly.
You can march around your city all you want.
Right.
And no matter what you do, and what you say, and how great the prophet of God is, every lost person in that city is still, if you go back to Acts 26:18, they're in darkness, and they're under Satan.
Amen.
So, and that's true if it's a nice, pretty city.
Exactly. That's right. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
So true binding and loosing, then, according to Matthew 18, if we are bound to something morally, it means we must do it or not do it, whatever the command is.
We must obey.
We must obey, but what we find is that we are under the law of Christ. That's what the scriptures teach us.
Paul not says, Moses.
Exactly. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 9, that he's not under the law, but he's under the law of Christ.
Amen.
So what Bob and I are saying is that from scripture, we are bound to the moral commands that flow from Christ and his apostles. So for example, we would certainly be prohibited from murdering, from stealing, because these are things that are reiterated the new covenant.
Yeah. The Ten Commandments, I taught on those, and we have them on our website. And we have videos on it on YouTube.
That's right.
They're all reiterated. Every one of those sermons, I start in Exodus 20 and end up in the New Testament.
Exactly.
And the only one that's changed at all, but not abrogated, is the Sabbath law.
Right.
And rather than being a day, is now a person.
Exactly. It's fulfilled.
You find
in Christ.
Rest in Christ.
Amen. That's right.
But it's still binding.
Right.
If you want Sabbath rest, you have to come to Christ. I don't care how picky you are about some Sabbath laws.
Right.
You're under the hostile powers.
Exactly. So false binding then would come from people who, for example, would claim, let's use the Sabbath idea. They would say, and if you do any work, for example, you fill up your car, you go to a restaurant, and you do that on a Sunday, they would claim that the Sunday is Sabbath in their view, which isn't correct. But they would claim that that's Sabbath. Well, then, therefore, you're a Sabbath breaker.
Yeah, so now you're cursed.
You're cursed, and you're moral.
But there's not one verse in the New Testament that ever says the word Sabbath and applies it to a Sunday.
Exactly. It's always applied to Sabbath.
So I tell it to people, they get so angry with me.
Right, right.
It's like I'm doing some evil thing by disagreeing with some guy from church history,
right,
who made up their own doctrine. I don't care who they are.
Right. So what
you show me. Yeah. Here, get your Bible and show me exactly where the Bible says, yea, thou saith the Lord, Sunday is Sabbath, and thou shalt not do anything.
Exactly. So what we're claiming is that we're loose. In other words, there's freedom to do what we want on a Sunday. We could watch TV. We could fill up our car. We could go to...
well, we could have our day of worship. We need to gather and worship.
Yeah, amen.
We could have it on whatever day the Lord provides.
That's right.
In whatever world culture we live in.
Right.
If you were, as we've said before, if you're a citizen of Israel, the nation.
Right.
And a Christian. I knew a guy that was a pastor in Israel.
Yeah.
With a Christian congregation. Well, they met on Saturday.
And that's okay.
Not because Saturday is Sabbath in the New Testament, but it's within our liberty to do it.
Exactly. There's liberty.
And that's what works there.
Right.
In America, we meet on Sunday because that's what we've been doing for 250 years. And it works here because that day is available.
Right.
If you live somewhere else where the one day nobody had to go to their job was Thursday,
right,
that'd probably be the day you'd gather and worship God. But you can still be a Sabbath breaker.
Yes.
Because Jesus said, come unto me, all you who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Amen. That's right.
Sabbath rest is found in Christ, and we've proven that
numerous
elsewhere,
times.
So yeah. I don't want to go back over that again.
That's right.
But if you don't come to Christ, or if you try to find rest through law-keeping,
amen,
you don't have it.
Exactly. And that's what we're trying to point out, is those who will heap us under the stoichia, they may seem really pious. They may say, you know what, I don't do this, I don't do that. But in reality, if they're saying that this is something necessary to make us right with God, then what they're actually doing is, even though they seem pious, they're actually leading us to doctrines of demons.
Yeah. I have a quote here of F.F. Bruce, and we'll go to the last part of this first.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Bruce says, here, the argument presented to the Colossian Christians is that as death severs the bond which binds a subject to his ruler, so their death with Christ has severed the bond which bound them to the service of the principalities and powers.
Wow.
Why then should they go on submitting to the rules imposed by these powers?
Wow.
Did you know demons have doctrines?
They do.
And you know their doctrines are often laws?
Wow.
It says, it's going to say that right here.
Isn't that something?
Colossians. Why? As we said earlier, Satan's the accuser of the brethren.
Amen.
And so why not create even more laws so we can get them to believe that, and then we can accuse them even more.
Right. Exactly.
You're not good enough. You didn't do enough.
Right.
Do
right.
more. Try harder.
Yeah.
Jump. Jump when we tell you.
Right.
Okay, now jump higher.
Right.
Jump through this hoop. Great. Now this one over here.
Right.
Keep jumping. Keep doing. Keep listening to us.
Yes.
And
yes.
Paul's going to say, why do you submit to this?
Right. Right.
Why do you do this?
Right. Right.
I thought you died with Christ.
Right.
To all of this. Did you or not?
Right.
Do you have the imputed righteousness of Christ or not?
Right.
Has the blood cleansed you or not?
Right.
Has Christ said, come to me and I will give you rest? And you did?
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
Just to prove that's in Matthew 11. In Matthew 12, the Pharisees got angry because Christ and his apostles didn't jump through their hoops.
Right. Exactly.
Oh, you're Sabbath breakers.
Right. Amen. Yeah.
And so Jesus went back and rebuked them.
Right.
And from Scripture said, no, no, no.
Yeah.
For one thing, the king is here.
Amen. That's
David did this and that.
Right.
And he wasn't a Levite.
Right. Amen.
So here I am, the greater son of David, Messiah,
yes.
he
yes.
said.
Wow.
So I can tell my disciples to eat his grain, nuts to you.
Isn't that beautiful?
So what do they want? Well, we better kill him.
Right. Right. You know, it's interesting in that Matthew 12 passage, Bob, one of the arguments that Jesus puts forward is that the priests who work in the temple were breaking the Sabbath in a technical way because they were doing sacrificial work. They were offering the sacrifices, but Jesus says they're not guilty because their work of atonement and their sacrifices in the temple was greater than the need to abide by not working on Sabbath.
Yeah.
Well, then he makes a lesser to greater. He says, well, if their work giving atonement let them off the hook for working on Sabbath, he says, well, something greater than the temple is here. Jesus actually provides everlasting atonement, and therefore he certainly can be working on the Sabbath. He is, in fact, the king.
Yeah, so he is making Sabbath. A claim about being the Messiah.
Exactly.
And the creator.
That's right.
And the one who brings atonement.
Wow.
So there's answers in the scriptures to all of this.
Yes.
But we have to be willing to learn, and we need to love the truth.
Right, right. Amen.
And so let's go to the last part of this verse.
Yes.
So we got a little time here. Colossians 2:20b.
Oh, yes.
Why do you submit to them as though you lived in the world?
Wow.
And we've been talking about this.
Yeah.
The world here, cosmos, implies in this context the world in its rebellion.
Right, right.
The evil, sinful world.
Right.
So the stoichia are of the world.
Right, right.
Okay. Submit to, the word in Greek, dogmatizo, means to be dogmatized.
Wow. There we go. Yes. Right. And in fact, one scholar said, in addition to that, he said it means to be conformed to regulations, to represent and affirm an edict. And isn't that exactly what we end up doing when we affirm these lawgivers?
Yeah. To dogmatize is to proclaim an edict.
Yes.
This is the way it is. You're bound because we say so.
Wow. Isn't
so
that something?
Don't allow yourself to be dogmatized.
Right.
Literally, you could say, why are you being dogmatized?
Yes.
Don't you know what Christ did for you?
Right.
Don't you know that you're dead?
Amen.
And someone is released when they die?
Yeah, that's right.
And we've died because we're in Christ.
Amen.
I'm going to quote O'Brien again.
Yeah.
The point is that the Colossians were in danger of falling victim to the false teaching and of voluntarily placing themselves under the regulations imposed by these powers.
Yes.
This was tantamount to reverting to the slavery previously experienced in their pagan past.
Right.
Now, the term stoichia is also used earlier in Colossians 2 that we looked at. Yes. But also in Galatians.
Yeah, let's look that up.
Galatians 4:3 and Galatians 4:9. Okay? So let me read Galatians 4:3.
Yeah.
So with us, while we were minors, now he's using an analogy there.
Right.
We were enslaved to the elemental spirits, stoichion.
Yes.
Of the world. So we were enslaved.
Right, amen.
Okay?
Now, Bob, I just want to stop you right there. Again, you see that term world, and I love the fact that, I'm sorry to just do a quick review here of world, but a few weeks ago, you had shown a slide to our congregation about how the Bible uses world, and you said that there's three options for cosmos, and it was a great, great teaching, because you showed that sometimes the world in the New Testament refers to the creation.
Yeah, cosmos.
Cosmos. Sometimes it refers to the world inhabited by human beings.
Yeah, the arena of human affairs.
Exactly, our political things.
Or just everything we do.
Exactly.
Family, work, business.
Driver, car.
We live on the face of the earth.
Exactly, but the third usage, and that's what's being referred to here, is the world in its moral rebellion against God.
In that regard, it's evil.
Right. The reason that's important, because he says in verse 20, as if you were living in the world. Well, we literally are living in the physical creation.
And we are in the arena of human affairs.
Exactly, but we are not in the camp of those who are in rebellion against God.
That's what he took us out of.
Exactly.
So, dear saints, we have to be willing to learn.
Amen.
we can't just say, oh, well, it all must mean the same thing. It's the same word.
Right.
Words have ranges of meaning.
Exactly.
And let's learn.
Amen.
So the stoichia of the world are the hostile spiritual powers that are over people in their domain.
Exactly.
The ones in their domain are the lost.
Wow.
And you can't tell that, as I said earlier, by looking for symptoms.
Right, right.
Are you sick or healthy, happy, sad?
Yes.
What kind of past did you have?
Wow.
No. It's whether or not you have repented and believed the gospel.
Amen.
And were transferred from the authority of Satan to God.
Amen.
Colossians 1, 13 and 14.
Wow.
And then one more use in Galatians of this word stoichia.
Right.
Galatians 4, 9. I'm citing from the New RSV.
Yes.
Now, however, that you have come to know God, or rather be known by God, how can you turn back again to the weak and beggarly elemental spirits?
Yes.
And so, in that case, the turning back in Galatians was to go back to Moses.
Right.
And that would have been shocking.
Yes.
Going back to Moses puts us under the demons?
Wow.
Nobody would have thought that.
Right, exactly.
But Paul said it.
Yes.
I didn't make this up.
Right. It is. It's powerful.
You've died with Christ.
Amen. And the reason why we go back to the demonic realm, if we go back to Moses, is because no human being can keep Moses. Every single person has fallen short.
You preached that Sunday, Eric.
I did.
You should have heard Eric's sermon on Sunday from Romans 7. He showed how hopeless it is to try to find right standing.
Yes.
Through the law.
And Bob, one of the big themes that we've been laying out from Romans is that there is an implied greater to lesser. And the implied greater to lesser in Romans is that if you can't be made right before God under the Mosaic law, an actual law that God had commanded, how much less could you ever be made right before a holy God by some lesser man-made law?
It's even worse.
It's even worse, amen.
The ones that the stoichia give us in Colossae are even worse.
Exactly.
But according to Paul, if you go back to Moses, you go under the hostile powers.
Right.
Because you're assuming, well, I guess I didn't die with Christ.
Yes.
If you go to the do not taste, do not touch, we'll get to that later.
Yeah.
In another episode, you're doing the same thing.
Amen. That's right.
So the only way out is Christ.
Yes. Yes.
So as we conclude here.
Yes.
If you have Christ, you're in a new domain.
Amen.
You're not under darkness, you're under light.
Wow.
You're not under Satan, you're under God.
Wow.
You're not condemned, you're forgiven.
Wow.
You're not lost, you're saved.
Amen.
Keep that status and do not let anybody put you in bondage by telling you, oh no, you got to do this, this, and this.
Wow.
Because Jesus said, done.
Amen.
It is finished.
Wow, very fitting way to end. Well, we're out of time for this edition of Critical Issues Commentary Radio. We want to remind all of you out there that you can access this program at our website at cicministry.org. Well, Bob, it's a pleasure looking at these great texts, and I just again so appreciate all the work that you've done here, and I look forward to diving in next time.
Amen. It's a joy to do it.
Amen. Well, we want to remind all of you out there, as it says in Philippians 1:27, stand firm in one spirit with one mind and strive together for the faith of the gospel.